I think we've got to realise that obviously markets don't like uncertainty in any shape or form. Our real view on this is the fact that the microscope probably will swing a lot more onto the continent as opposed to the UK. I mean, obviously in the short term you're going to have a lot of uncertainty, and particularly on the political front now, given the Conservative Party and the votes and so forth, where effectively the leaders that kind of led the charge to Brexit have kind of jumped ship.
Well, the new eye of the storm, I guess it's been there for a while. Maybe the market is just now taking it seriously, is in Italy, where there is some debate over how they're going to capitalize the banks.
Oh, no, very much so. It's kind of interesting because out here in our time zone in Asia at the moment, we're seeing a lot of comments in relation to Beijing doing a recapitalization of its banking sector here in Asia, in the mainland, sorry, in the PRC. And the interesting thing is that at least the PRC has got a historic positive track record in this, because they recapitalized back in the 1990s, and that actually helped spur an extra economic growth boon in the mainland.
Yeah, we certainly did a survey on this just this week and interviewed some of our economists about this and analysts, and they were saying that, yeah, in the short term, this could really potentially weigh on markets if China does step in to recapitalize the banks. But in the long term, this could actually be a good thing for the economy.
No, certainly. And even this morning, we saw reports of them setting up some bad banks, in inverted commas, to start taking some of the NPLs off the balance sheets of the banks there. I think the overlying theme really at the moment is still very much about China exporting its deflationary pressures, and we're about to receive the PPI numbers out, I think it's on the 10th, and we're expecting another deceleration of the depreciation there at factory gate prices. And this very much follows into the weaker renminbi theme at the moment, where they've effectively given the headlines have been all about the sterling and the Brexit and so forth, been able to do some stealth depreciation here of the renminbi. And very much for us, we still see a seven handle on this currency going forward. And this is going to help in a multitude of ways. One's very much the manufacturing sector via exports. But at least the positives here is the fact that you're having a positive cannibalization of the services industry expanding at a greater pace than the contraction of the manufacturing. And given the fact that GDP calculation is now more than 50% of the services side, this is very much a positive. So we could have a nice double whammy positive here in relation to China going into second half.
Well, I understand the services side of the equation. I mean, domestic demand, yeah, but even with a seven handle on the currency, I mean, there's no demand globally. How is that going to work to anyone's benefit?
Well, no, that's very much the case, and we're seeing that in relation to developed economies' demand models at the moment. But the thing is, for China, is it's about capturing comparative advantage in relation to existing exports. So it's more about carving up the existing pie than that pie is currently increasing.
Well, you mentioned the seven handle. I mean, the moves that we have seen, I think a lot of analysts that we talk to say, you know what, this is just an adjustment to dollar strength. At what point, though, are these moves going to trigger some panic, similar to what we saw, the runs that we saw, I guess, in January and August?
Well, I think one of the main aspects to keep an eye on is what the PBOC's monetary policy is going to be like for the second half. They came out yesterday and said that there will be fine-tuning, but we're really much of the belief that you won't see any reductions in triple R's, which unlocks existing liquidity in the system, or any broad interest rate drops. I mean, CPI is estimated around 1.8 for the next read for June. So there is some leeway there for easing, but we see very much that they'll continue on the micromanagement side of basically the medium and short-term lending facilities, directly injecting into banks to influence their lending, but also in relation to the continuing on-market operations of the money market injections via reverse repos. And the thing is, at least with these short-term easing or expansion measures, they have less probability of seepage via the capital account and capital outflows, even with a depreciation of the renminbi.
We had a story a little earlier in the program talking about widening credit spreads in the junk bond market in China. Right now, the spread between the premium or the five-year rated AA- relative to upper-tier corporate notes, I mean, that spread is the widest that we have seen in about 4 years. And I'm wondering whether or not it's telling us that we're going to see another level of defaults. And would that be necessarily a good thing, to have more defaults?
Well, I mean, the aspect for any economy that's effectively morphing into more of a developed economy, is you're going to have some pain in relation to areas like this. And, you know, the plenum itself has come out, obviously, and said that urbanisation is its key policy. Part of urbanisation, excuse me, has to be the increase of consumer credit and also corporate credit to help push those things. And again, we're seeing that policy kind of come to fruition, particularly with the economy moving into more services orientated than manufacturing orientated. So, you know, it's very much trying to increase the depth and breadth of the asset class for the bond market and the credit market, where Beijing has already signaled that they want this asset class to have a greater prevalence within the financing of the economy by effectively outlawing the use of local government funding vehicles and so forth. So, you know, these things are again going to be part of the pain period and part of also education for the mainland, just like the property market has been, where, you know, it's still really only a couple of decades you've had, you know, private ownership of land, so to speak. So it's very much about the development of the economy and also investor understanding and education.
It was just taking a look at how the Chinese retail investor has been acting recently. I mean, we've seen the Shanghai Composite. We broke through the 3,000 level. It's a long time we've seen that, but they're still one of the worst performers out there in the market right now. And it seems like these retail investors are plunging into commodities once again, precious metals, I should say, with silver market really seeing trading volumes jumping. Are these echoing what we saw, the concerns of the speculative frenzy that we saw earlier this year when it came to iron ore?
Well, again, I think it comes down to the particularly unique characteristics of the Communist One-Party system, which we're talking about, the PRC here, and that is that speculation is one of the demons of communism. So, therefore, there's not a lot of outlets or asset classes for the mainland investor to actually get involved in, apart from, as we've seen, hard asset prices pick up. And we've also seen prior the commodity situation where a lot of people were speculating on the back of, you know, copper and so forth. So, in relation to the Shanghai A, that had obviously seen a lot of boon and activity through speculation, but I think basically there's a bit of tainting of the perceived access for more speculation, given some of the movements, particularly the regulatory side of some of the circuit breakers and so forth. It's taken away a little bit of that that view that it's a never-ending speculation kind of casino. Even this morning, we saw that the regulator had decided that they're going to cut down the waiting list for IPOs by a third. And while you may see that as good management, it's also the aspect that we're talking about a market that has over 70% retail participation. So a lot of these guys are obviously in there because they want to get involved in the speculative aspect of a primary new issue. Mm-hmm. So again, that could also be putting a little bit of a yoke on the market here.